Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me this week is my dad as we talk about the end of week one and the beginning of week two of the NFL season. Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Hey, Chad.
So did you enjoy the football games this past week?
Oh, this was a fantastic week, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything's for real. Everything counts. So it was exciting.
Yeah, it was good to see a lot of the games. Because where we are, we don't usually get four different games, but because we were in between Philadelphia and New York, we got both their different CBS and Fox stations, so we got four different games.
That's because the home teams were not playing during the day.
Yeah, the only home team was the Jet game. They had the Fox game, and then CBS didn't have an AFC game in the area, so they put on the I forget which one they put on. Oh, they put on the Pats and the Bills, and then the Philly station had on the Titans and the Steelers, and then we also got the Falcons and the Saints. Pretty good games, although the Titans-Steelers one wasn't that interesting.
Well, actually, it has huge ramifications. Based, it was boring. It wasn't easy to watch, but because of the injuries, it really devastated the Steelers.
Yeah, Marquise Pouncey, their center and one of their linebackers' foot got hurt.
Well, besides quarterback, it's your biggest downgrade of any position. Your backup quarterback, you know, other positions, you have similar guys that can fill in. But a quarterback and center, you have a huge drop-off.
Yeah.
Pouncey, one of the best to begin with.
And yeah, and he's good. Not only is he good, he's got a brother who's a year younger who's the center for the, I think, Dolphins, actually.
Yeah, well, they also had Foot out with the bicep tear.
Right.
He's out for the year, and the running back they signed, he's out.
Yeah, things aren't looking too well for Pittsburgh.
Now,
I was going to say, between them and Baltimore with a bad first game, I think the North isn't as competitive as we think it is.
Well, the one thing great about that division is everybody lost.
That's true.
So, you know, that's the only redeeming value. The Steelers had 195 total offense. Rushing, they were 15 for 32 yards. So this tells you when you have your center out and you don't have a running back, and, you know, there's going to be some huge problems. And they really have been the bully in that division.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really owed a lot of paybacks. And the Bengals will be home coming off a loss in Chicago.
Yeah, there's no love lost there. That's a primetime game.
And they're going to have to strap on their helmet.
Yeah, so that's going
to... The line is 7. So it's Pittsburgh plus 7.
Right.
Now, the two things that they do have going for them is the wounded animal mentality, which is a lot, you know, which is desperation. And they also have Big Ben, who really is a good football player.
Yeah, he was very underrated coming out of college, and you know he's done pretty well for himself. I think that draft class between him and Manning, I know Philip Rivers in there, but he hasn't won anything. But I mean, Manning and Roethlisberger in the same draft class—that's four Super Bowl rings right there.
Well, Marino didn't win anything either.
That's true. Elway sopped up those Super Bowl wins.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we put way too much into that one game.
It's true. It's hard to believe. Yeah, very quickly, just thinking about the Super Bowl, it's the only championship game in sports where the loser of that game is seen as a loser. I mean, all the other sports, you can say, well, they played a good season. If you lose that one Super Bowl game, you are deemed awful.
Well, don't forget, that's I don't know of any other single elimination tournament.
Very good point.
So that's what that makes it.
Yeah, that's true.
Win or go home.
Yeah. So were there any games this weekend that you were pretty impressed by?
Well, you had to be impressed by 7 touchdowns by Peyton Manning. I mean, kicking the season off.
I mean,
that was huge. You had to absolutely, if you're a football fan at all, you had to love Philadelphia and the Eagles. I mean, they really brought something new to the game and brought, you know, huge excitement back to a city that really hasn't had any championships, football-wise.
Right. Yeah, that was very impressive. I was watching that on Monday night, and that was a very, very fast-moving game. I mean, that first quarter had everything. It had a safety. Well, first of all, there were a lot of safeties this weekend, but it had a safety, it had an interception, it had return for a touchdown. I mean, It was nonstop action.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of, because it's divisional, heavyweight action, where one opponent is just slow and gets beat to the punch, but the one getting off the punches doesn't put him away. So late in the fight, there's a chance for him to come back. But yeah, it had everything going for it, and it was usually entertaining.
Oh, very entertaining. So which games are you looking forward to this week?
Well, this week, what I'm looking forward to?
Yeah, sure.
I definitely want to pile on against the Steelers, so I'm liking, but you got to give 7 points to the Steelers, so I'm really liking that. It's hard to believe that the Niners, looking as sharp as they did, against the Packers, that they would be getting points. But I guess Seattle's a lonely place to play, and that 12th man's huge up there. But still, who would imagine that the Raiders would be giving 6 points to anybody in this league, and the Niners would be getting from anyone?
Yeah.
It's just amazing how things change in a week, which tells me people put way too much into it.
Well, yeah, I mean, people are just too excited, and they just go off what they just previously see. I mean, first of all, Seattle at home is just an unstoppable beast. On the road, they're a different story, but at home, I mean, that stadium's built for crowd noise. Don't forget, that's the place a couple years ago in the playoff game against the Saints. Marshawn Lynch ran for like a 90-yard touchdown. There was actually seismic activity detected from just the excitement from the jumping up and down in the stadium. So
that's great. But, you know, it's interesting. Seattle put up 13 points last week at Panthers, and now they're giving the Niners 3. It's just it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, really.
I mean, if you're a 49er fan, that is disrespectful.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, you can also go off last year's late in the season. Seattle put up 42 on San Francisco in Seattle. I know that, you know, different teams really, but that'll be interesting to see.
Also, looking at the reverse Bruner. I think we spoke about this before. The Bruner theory is where the home team gets pick 'em up to 2.5 points, and that usually kicks in at midway through the season. So first half of the season, it will be considered an anti-Bruner theory. And this is the Cardinals getting 1.5 at home against the Lions.
Yeah, I was looking at that one.
Yeah, so, of course, you know, the Cardinals look at it, but the pick there would be the Lions. Another interesting one is the Chiefs coming off, for them, a big win, but it was against the Jag, and I was amazed to see that the Jaguars, their furthest advancement of the football on offense was their own 36-yard line throughout the entire game.
Wow.
I'd never really heard of that before.
No.
So now the Chiefs, you know, can good there, our home, which is a very home-friendly stadium.
Very. One of the best.
Yeah, one of the best, absolutely. So Seattle, the Chiefs, you know, good places to play at home. But the Cowboys are getting 2.5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and it's against Andy Reid, so.
And he knows him. He knows him well.
Yeah, so, you know, you got that situation going on.
Yeah, I'd be definitely interested in watching that game. I mean, you know, the Jets play on Thursday night, so that pretty much frees up the CBS schedule for me in terms of watching any other game. I would love to see that Kansas City-Dallas game. First of all, a bit of the history there, because remember the Chiefs were originally the Dallas Texans until they moved.
Yeah, but the people that remember that are looking for the Lindbergh baby. But it's very interesting. The other, of course, with all the press and all the, you know, the feel-good game is the Manning brothers.
Yeah, Denver at Giants.
Right.
I forget what their record against, because they've played each other a couple times in season. I forget what their record is, but
It's Peyton 2, Eli 0.
Wow.
And, of course, if they play again, I think their schedule will play in 2015. I think Manning would be 41.
If he makes it that far.
Peyton,
yeah.
Well, I'm saying if.
Yeah.
The other crazy line change, well, not change, but perception-wise, would be the Chargers getting 7.5 at the Eagles.
You know, after, well, first of all, San Diego blew a big lead against the Texans.
28-7.
Yeah. They were leading the Texans, which a lot of people have as their Super Bowl, you know, favorite from the AFC. They were leading them at home, and they couldn't put it away. So then they're going to travel across the country against a what was seen in just in 1 week as an offensive powerhouse. You can't like them.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is the general perception. But I really want to see the Eagles secondary tested by a decent quarterback. And Rivers is decent.
Rivers is it, and they've got some good weapons.
And 7.5 is a lot. The other thing is, you'd have to chart it from years past, but generally speaking, the loser on Monday night wins the next week, and the winner loses. So those are two teams that played Monday night that are coming back on Sunday to play. Because usually it's just one Monday night game.
Yeah, but, you know, there's been two the last couple of years. That's really interesting. I'll have to
chart that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to look at now. So what about some so what are your best bets for our fiscally adventurous friends?
Well, I'm liking to test the Steelers in a tough situation and give them 7. So I would like to take the Bengals minus 7. I'd like to go with the anti-Bruner, take the Lions, given 1.5.
Yeah, those are two pretty good games.
Yeah, so how'd we do last week?
Well, I know Buffalo covered. They should have won that game, but I know they covered. And the Colts covered as well.
Well, there you go. So let's keep the ball rolling.
There you go. Let's keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, I wanted to hit a couple more things. Yeah, one thing was interesting was the New Orleans-Atlanta game.
That was it. It was a very competitive game.
Yeah,
I'm glad we watched
it. Well, unfortunately, Atlanta only scored 17 points, which tells me that that defense of New Orleans is, and they had a huge defensive stand at the end of the game. So there's something to be said there. And the Giants, that running back Wilson, that was just a horror show. Couldn't block, couldn't hold on to the ball. Basically, Cowboys took his lunch money and he ended up sitting on the side looking up.
And because of that, they signed Brandon Jacobs again.
Well, they did. I thought they would go with McGahee, but they went with a more familiar player and played there before. But one thing about the Giants, I was thinking recently, like in the last 5 years, could I name a player that they released that went on to be something? I really couldn't, and I know I'm not Bradshaw they got rid of because of that sore foot and he didn't practice. But he was a gamer and a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
But I think he was 7 for 28 yards or something like that in Indianapolis. So that's a guy that they could have used seeing that Brown got hurt.
Yeah, very true. And it's not like the Giants haven't ever, you know, had to deal with running backs with fumble problems. I remember Tiki Barber. He always had trouble holding on to the ball.
But the difference is Tiki could block, and this guy at 206 pounds is a little light in the butt for this league and really couldn't block.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, so we'll see how long he sits out there. Oh, the other thing is the looking at the injuries, and Amendola for the Patriots is out with a groin.
Yeah, very true.
They also have the running back who is besides McCoy, his name is Vereen, Shane Vereen for the Patriots. He had 101 yards. Only 100-plus yard rushers last week, and he was one of them. He's out now for 8 weeks, so they're really down to Edelman.
Yeah, I mean he'll get the ball and he'll do stuff with it. He's
that line is 13.
Yeah, I mean it's in New England, so I mean you might as well take that because the Jets are not covering that.
The Jets don't have the weapons.
No, they don't have the weapons. I mean, you know, as much as I hate the Patriots, of course they're going to feast on a guy making a second NFL start with limited offensive firepower, and you know I just don't know how good the defense is going to be. I mean,
I'm not. I mean, I know Belichick's a defense. You know, has the prowess of a defense coach, but actually, in the last 4 or 5 years, his defenses are slipping.
Oh yeah,
improving. So more and more is asked out of Brady, and now he has less and less weapons. The 13's a lot to give in a divisional game. I mean, I know the perception is the Jets stink and the Patriots are great, but I mean, somewhere in between there is reality.
Yeah.
It is earlier in the year. And I mean, the Patriots, they didn't cover against the Bills.
They didn't. But that's an improved team. You know, the Jets are the opposite of an improved team. And I could definitely see the Jets losing by 17 points or something like that. It's just what I'm thinking as a, you know, pessimistic Jets fan.
Well, the definition of a pessimist is an optimist with experience.
Yeah, I'm starting to think I have enough experience now.
Right. And the other thing was the Dolphins. They had 275 yards total offense, and they won the game. The Browns actually had more at 291.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins this week, where they're playing.
They are, I just
they're,
had...
They're at Colts.
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting three.
I don't think it's going to be that close.
You liking the Colts?
Yeah, I think that they're going to... I think they'll look at the game against the Raiders and, you know, they want to improve themselves better than that. They know they could have done a little bit better than what they did against the Raiders, so I think they'll take it out on Miami.
Well, often there's thing in betting in the NFL that two road games, it's hard to cover the spread in both of them.
Right.
You know, so this is their second road game. A lot of times, you know, you're looking to get home.
Yeah. No, I think I like Indianapolis.
And that's their second consecutive home game.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to start off the season, sleeping in your own bed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Can't beat that.
Now, what about baseball? If you're hearing some stuff that the Cleveland Indians, based on their schedule, have a shot to get to wild card.
Yeah, they have the weakest of the the schedules with the other wild card teams. I mean, the Yankees are pretty much out of it because they got after getting beaten up by Boston in that one series, they got passed by two teams. They got passed by the Orioles and they got passed by the Indians.
Right.
So they're pretty much out of it. But yeah, the Indians have a really good, a pretty weak schedule. They're playing, not too many tough opponents. Meanwhile, the Orioles, I still think, have the Red Sox. And Tampa Bay still has the Red Sox. I think they have Detroit as well. And it's basically one team out of the East and it's going to be one team out of the West, whether it's the Rangers or the A's.
Now, when was Cleveland last in a baseball playoff?
2007. They actually held a three games to one lead over the Red Sox. But the Red Sox won three straight and then won their second title in 3 years, or 4 years, I should say. So that was the last time that they were in the playoffs. I mean, you gotta give Terry Francona a lot of credit. He changed the culture of that team, and it's just a lot of scrappy guys.
He wore his welcome out in Boston.
No, I don't think he did.
The management just turned the wheel on him.
I think that the management got too comfortable with success, and there was a great article. In Sports Illustrated, it's an excerpt of his memoirs as a Red Sox manager, and they talk about how they would have meetings with the front office talking about ratings and how they do with female fans and talking about, to create more drama on the field because that gets people tuning in and just all this stuff that sounds like television executives talking and not baseball men. They talked about the other thing was that they constantly, the front office wanted primetime night games, like ESPN Sunday night games, when he wanted his team to rest. He wanted getaway days, but he couldn't have it because they were constantly scheduled for Sunday night games.
Well, it sounds like the boss wants you to work and you want to take a vacation. That sounds like a very common situation.
Yeah.
But one thing you got to give the management of Boston credit, they got rid of some high-priced players. They brought in some marginal people like Vicarino and different guys. And they've actually done something with it.
They've done very well. I didn't think that they would have the strength to make it deep into the playoffs. Now I'm thinking that they do.
So they kind of look good.
They look very good. I'm a little surprised, but they look very good, and I think that they will go pretty far. A little off topic. Well, not off topic, but have you heard the news that's coming down about the Mets radio broadcast?
No.
Well, apparently the Yankees and the Fan, WFAN here in New York, are in talks to broadcast Yankee games.
What?
Which means that the Mets will be left out in the cold.
Wow. Why don't they start their own station?
Well, there's a couple places they could go to, because apparently the Yankees are on WCBS, and their contract runs out at the end of the season. WOR, who I think didn't they used to have the Yankees?
Well, I've heard one thing. I remember Ron Kuby said one time, WOR had their 80th anniversary, and he said, "We're 80, and so are you." I always think about that when I think about them. Yeah, so, yeah. For people I can remember when the Dodgers played in Brooklyn, they could tune into that station easily.
Yeah, I mean, so apparently Clear Channel owns WOR, and they're apparently, making a big run for the Yankees. And if, the Yankees go to the Fan, they would try and get the Mets. But also the ESPN radio station here in New York They broadcast the Rangers and the Knicks and the Jets. They would probably make a run at the Mets, too.
Yeah, I don't know how many watts they transmit at, but the WRN seems to come in better than my radios than, what was that? That's the old WNEW, isn't it? 1130? I forget.
No, they moved. Oh, ESPN Radio, it's now 98.7.
Oh, well, that sounds like an FM station.
Well, it's an FM station now because they realized nobody could hear it when it was on 1130.
WOR doesn't have an FM. I know WFAN is 101.9.
Yeah, 101.9. So if the Yankees do, so the Mets this season have been on FM radio, and if the Yankees go, they would try to go. So, I mean, that would really stink. I mean, the Mets have been on the Fan since its inception in 87. The Yankees have been jumping around. They used to be on 770?
770 WABC.
Oh, yeah, they used to be on WABC. Then they went to, CBS and all these
other. Down the dial.
Yeah, exactly.
Who listens to the radio anymore anyhow? Can you stream these things? Is there a way to get it on my iPhone?
Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah,
that's what people care about today.
Yeah, you can get it that way, but
a lot of those packages you can't get to home teams.
No, if you get the MLB at Bat, which is an app where you can watch pretty much every baseball game, but if you live, I'm a Met fan, I live in the metropolitan area. If I want to watch the Mets on my phone via that app, I can't because of, regional blackout rules or some archaic thing. So, apparently, one thing people are talking about is if the Yankees do go to the Fan, they're hoping that they get rid of Waldman and John Sterling. But apparently the Yankees have final say on who their broadcast voices are, so it doesn't look like they would get rid of them.
Oh, with them and Francesca, they can all kiss each other's rings.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, that would be a bit much for me. I'd have to move on.
Yeah, me too.
But then again, the Yankees are slipping anyhow.
Yeah, very true. So
we've heard the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yep, pretty much. It's the best way to put it.
Right. Now, what about Cincinnati's chance?
Well, they're going to make it into the wild card. They just have to figure out if they're either going to put, they're either going to play Pittsburgh or St. Louis. And it's up to Cincinnati if they can gain enough ground, they can either host the game or play it on the road. So really it's, what do you think is going to be your best chance? Because they're not catching the, I don't think they're going to catch the lead.
No, I think they're going to do the wild card.
Yeah, they're going to do the wild card, but will it be at home or on the road?
Is that a big thing in baseball?
It all depends, because I know if they play the Cardinals on the road, their chances are basically none, because it seems like St. Louis owns them. And at least if they're at home against St. Louis, they have a chance. The Cardinals went, played that one game wild card in Atlanta, and they won on the road.
Well, they have a great playoff record, don't they? I mean, in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, you can never count St. Louis out. They always, they always, always surprise you, and they always do well. I would like them not to this year, because I've seen that. I'm done with it. I saw it last year. I've seen it in previous years. I felt the wrath of that in 2006. I think I'm good for a while.
I can root for the Reds.
I could root for the Reds, and I can root for the Pirates. I definitely like
the Pirates, yeah. Oh, how many years? 20 years? How many years?
92 is the last season, so 20, it's been 20 years. This is their 21st year since.
That's forever.
Yeah, so I like them, and I see them and the Dodgers in the NLCS.
Yeah, the Dodgers are steady, and I'll think about all the questions early in the year. They really put it together. It's like a race car. They get out in front and stay there.
Yeah, it's impressive. Good for them for really coming together and showing that they can stick with it.
Right.
So, all right, Dad.
I think we touched all the bases there.
I think definitely so, for sure.
Okay.
All right, bye. Thanks, Dad, for coming on. This week with my fantasy team, actually, go back to last week, I lost by 1 point. I was so concerned with starting DeSean Jackson over Darius Heyward-Bey, I didn't stop to think about Mike Wallace and the 1 point he earned me with one catch for 15 yards. That was just unacceptable to me. And, to realize that had I put in DHB, I would have won because he got me 3 points. It's not much, but if I lost by a point, 3 points would have really helped. So I'm really kicking myself over Mike Wallace's production. They only threw to him once, but still, I'm a little torn. Minnesota's at home against Chicago. San Francisco's on the road. I'm sorry, Minnesota's at Chicago. And San Francisco's at Seattle. I know last year Seattle put up a lot of points on the San Francisco defense, but I feel a little bit more comfortable playing the Minnesota defense at Chicago. David Akers had a really good kicking game against the Vikings, but they're at Arizona. I feel a little bit more confident starting Matt Bryant as my kicker against St. Louis at home. Aside from that, the rest of my starting lineup is going to start to stay the same, pretty much Aaron Rodgers, DeSean Jackson. I'm going to try Mike Wallace again, but that might change. I might figure, hey, Darius Heywood-Bey, because they're playing each other, so it's which do I want? AJ Green had a monster game for me, so I'm going with him again. Eddie Lacy, the law firm of Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Vernon Davis will stay in my starting lineup. So thank you very much for listening. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Just search for Everyman Sports. Email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's everymansports@gmail.com to let me know of any picks that you have for the week, how your fantasy football team's doing, and anything else sports related if you want. Thank you very much for listening. Take care.